Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
All right, welcome back. Now, Ireland's first medically supervised injection centre is officially opening in a few days, 9 years after it was originally approved by Eoghan Reardon and everybody else who suggested it at the time. We also had to change legislation. The Misuse of Drugs Act had to be changed because, of course, now we have a situation where drugs are technically legal within the building and the radius around the building. So that law had to be changed. Anyway, the facility was designed and introduced as a way to prevent the spread of diseases associated with intravenous drug use, such as HIV and hepatitis. The bill was passed through the Senate on the 10th of May 2017. The proposal was originally delayed due to the planning objections by a local primary school, because it's right beside a school, and the school looks directly onto Cook Street, which has been a hive for antisocial behaviour recently, most of those coming from Merchants Quay, which is the name of the place that the thing is in, which has been there for years, by the way. If you drive down the quays in Dublin, you'll see it on the left-hand side as you go down towards Guinness's. And generally outside, there's drug users waiting. And they're waiting there, as you know, obviously as well, to get whatever it is they have to get. But now they have a drug centre, an intravenous drug centre, where they can officially go in with their own drugs. Now, they don't give them drugs, but they go in with their own heroin. And they will be shown, you know, the safe way to inject it. They'll be given clean needles. And look, Eilish Magger, who is the principal of the primary school less than 300 metres from the centre, said that we have had to call emergency services. We've resuscitated people ourselves. We've removed drugs off the grounds of the school. And she reports an average of 3 incidents a week. The school also believes this new centre will just amplify the concentration of drug use in Dublin's inner city. But this could be a vital step for harm reduction. But I don't know what you think of the idea of a drug injection centre, a supervised drug injection centre. And this is a kind of Labour Party idea. And it kind of leads on to the whole idea that we shouldn't be jailing people for taking drugs, heroin or otherwise, that we should have this health-based approach to it. But let's stick to the medical centre for the moment. This is the first one, the first medically supervised injection centre. And I gave an analogy when I was talking about it today, and I said, if we decided to, you know, deal with alcoholism in the same way, why not open up a pub for alcoholics and invite them in? Bring your own vodka and beer. We'll give you the glasses. And you can sit down at the table there and drink it and have a ball and get hammered. Isn't that really what we're saying? Now, don't get me wrong. There'll be somebody in the pub to tell them all about the bad things about alcoholism. Same way as I'm sure there'll be people and nurses and doctors in the medically supervised injection centre saying to them, well, look, you know, you can get help if you want to. But either way, they're going to let them take their drugs, illegal drugs, and walk back out on the street again. Many of those who will be involved in crime, you know, who might wander around the road and beat up an old lady and take her money for the next fix. And we're playing a role in that now, rather than taking the other approach. So there's two approaches you could take. This approach, and the other approach is, you find somebody with heroin and you put them in a jail cell. And that's the way you get them off it. So they're the two approaches. Do you agree with medically supervised injection centres? And don't think, by the way, if you're living in Cork, Limerick or Galway tonight, sure, we got off lightly there. We dodged the bullet. That one, Dublin got that. No, you didn't. They're going to put one in Cork, Limerick and Galway too if this works out. This is just a trial. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Eddie. Eddie, hi, how are you?
No, good evening.
Eddie, do you agree with these medically supervised injection centres?
I was reading a lot about this today in Ireland yesterday because it's a topic close to my heart because I've lost some good friends through heroin overdoses throughout the years. And it's one of the reasons why I left to go to the UK years ago, just to get away from the scene, because I wasn't in it, but my friends were. And I think about them and their last moments and what the advantages of having an injection centre close by to help them. So I'm for the trial, I have to say. I mean, there's been trials done in parts of Canada, Australia, Switzerland and other
Portugal,
European countries.
Yeah.
And there's... So far, early data is saying there is a reduction in overdose deaths because medical staff can respond quicker. They can. It also reduces the spread of HIV and hepatitis by providing clean needles in a hygienic environment, stuff like that. And you reckon it's a gateway to other addiction studies, helps mental health issues, other conditions. So there's loads of like caveats to it. Now, I don't agree of the location. It shouldn't be 300 metres from school. But I do believe there's lots of the good points and bad points. And also be said, they can result in, if you have like the drug consumption not in public viewing, away from the streets.
But that's just the aesthetics of it, yeah, apart from anything else. Yeah,
yeah, and they were also saying that police have reported a reduction in criminal activity because users aren't injecting in public areas out of mallet. They're doing it in a controlled environment.
Yeah, but they're going into a centre and getting out of their mallet and then they're coming out.
Yeah, I know. They don't have to come out. No, they have to stay there for 15 minutes, as far as I believe, and then they can come out, but they can stay there longer. And people were saying that the longer you have them in there, the more you can kind of talk to them about their issues and maybe put them on the right path. I don't know. But definitely something has to be done.
This is really the right approach because...
Well, you were trying to put an analogy there about beer, right?
Yeah.
But if you share a dirty glass, you're not going to get hepatitis or bleeding HIV.
No, but you can drink it. But you can still drink yourself to death if you're an alcoholic.
We have to... I think we have to...
I was just talking about the approach, the way we deal with things. You know, we tell people that alcoholism is a bad thing, but we don't enable it by, you know, providing a pub for them to sit down in and giving them glasses to pour their beer into or their alcohol into. So what I'm saying is there's two approaches you can take to hard drugs, to class A drugs. One is, the first approach is you take a hard line on it. You say, sorry, if we catch you with heroin in your pocket, which we haven't done for the last two decades, we put you in jail. And by the way, it is illegal to be in possession of heroin. You wouldn't think so, but it is illegal. But if a guard catches you with a wrap of heroin in your pocket for personal use tomorrow, you're not going to jail. Nobody does.
No.
So we've two ways of dealing with it. We take a hard line on it, and that way people go into jail. Now, there's an argument people get more drugs in jail than they get outside jail. That's something else that has to be tackled and sorted out. Or we take a soft approach to it, this health-based approach, and we more or less, I believe, encourage it. Because now what we're saying is we're now enabling you to do it.
I know the naysayers are saying, like, we're normal, isn't it?
We are.
But I think...
Because that's the next step.
Now,
that's the next step, Eddie.
Now, ironically, Niall, the heroin figures for users...
19,000.
Yeah, apparently it's the lowest it has been in two decades. But still, it's 19,000. It's still a bloody lot.
Yeah, but I'm dreading? I'm dreading fentanyl coming into Ireland. That's when you will see a huge problem.
Well, that'll be next.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you take a hardline approach, right, and you throw them in prison for a wrap of heroin, they're probably only been there for about a week and back out. You know, so I don't think it's doing anything. I think it's got to the stage now where they're willing to try something new. They're willing to try a different approach because they must have seen these results from these other countries and thought, okay, if it's working over there, we'll give it a go.
They didn't give it long enough.
The same as a heroin user in Canada.
Yeah, no, hang on. They didn't give it long enough to see the results from other countries because they've been trying to do this for 9 years.
I don't know how long the studies in these countries last, to be honest.
Yeah. We approved this 9 years ago. By the way, the other little story that's in this particular story is they spend $5 million on this centre, right? And I saw the pictures today. It looks like the same building, if you ask me. It hasn't changed on the outside, that's for sure.
No, it's basically just a little vaccination centre with a couple of booths.
Why does it cost $5 million for a couple of, you know...
I don't know.
Partition walls, essentially.
God only knows. It's government money when no one has...
That's a whole other question.
When no one has to pay for it, it tends to be wasted, you know?
Stay there for a second. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad, Niall. Good evening. And again, I wish you a happy Christmas and...
You too, Joe.
Happy New Year when it comes.
Yeah, you too, Joe. What do you think of the idea of medically supervised injection centres?
I certainly wouldn't agree with him, Niall. I think this is another road to destruction, I think. I would be very, very concerned about this. This is like, and again, of course, this is another agenda by the left to try to... glamorize open drug dealing, you know? Mm. And I certainly think that the problem in this country is if you try to supervise something, it's obvious it's not going to go according to plan. Because in this country, nobody can supervise anything right. You see it there with anything that goes on in this country of projects over the years. It's an absolute disaster. And I would certainly tell you that going down this road is going to be another... destruction to society. Because with respect, Niall, who in God's name wants to go around the city or any city and see a load of those guys or girls or whoever banging their heads off with heroin.
I suppose the argument Eddie would make is they're doing that anyway. Whether we have an injection centre or not, they're doing it anyway.
Exactly. I would rather see them off the street, right? And dirty needles discarded everywhere and put away in a safe place.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that, but to see the problem... sorry, Eddie, how are you doing?
All right, Joe.
The problem in this country... Not too bad, Eddie. Good. The problem in this country is that when they try anything, when they do anything in this country, in the line of supervising anything, it never goes according to plan. You see all the shambolic events that have happened here over the last couple of years when it comes to splattering money on different events. It just wouldn't work. And I think it would be just an open... It would just be a ruination to disaster. Because can you see anybody trying to supervise those kind of people? Because, with respect, if you were, say, a supervisor of one of these injection centres, and a lot of them are going in there and they're completely out of their skull on heroin and whatever, it could be anything, it could be drink or anything, it's not going to be very easy to supervise it because, you know, it's going to cause more problems than anything else. And I have no problem with drug dealers being taken off the street, but I do have a problem with the supervising of it if it's not supervised properly. That's what I'm worried about.
If it's supervised, there'll be nurses. I'd imagine there'd have to be security.
Yeah, there will be.
My argument is I'd rather it in one place than scattered all around the city in different areas. However, if I was personally living beside it and it was like fucking zombie land 24/7, I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
But isn't that the whole thing? You know, I mean, they said if this works, they'll put up more of them. So what are they going to do? Put them in areas where particularly there's a problem. So they're going to go to working class areas where there's a problem.
Yeah.
Finglas, Ballyfermot, Darndale, whatever, I don't know. All these areas where there might be a drug problem. Yeah. I wouldn't fancy that in the green in front of my house. So both of you stay there a second. Let me just bring in Adam as well.
Industrial units.
Yeah, well, okay. Adam, hi.
How we doing?
How you doing? Adam, are these a good idea or are we just enabling a problem that should be, well, that is illegal?
I think it's ridiculous that we're trying to normalise drug use. Like, there is no other way of looking at it other than we're actively encouraging drug use. But there's a bigger issue than this. Even if you agree that it's a good thing, what problem is it actually solving? Because this centre is only going to be open 8 hours a day.
56 hours a week, yeah. 56 hours a week.
Well, yeah, over 7 days is eight hours a day. So a drug user uses more than 8 hours a day. So they're still going to go out there. We're giving stronger and stronger sentences to drug dealers, yet we're now looking at normalising and basically saying, look, carry on taking your heroin, it's fine. This money would be much better spent on creating facilities for people that have actually reached that point where they want to change. Because all I'm reading about this is drug users saying, we've got no dignity, we're treated like lepers, we're this, that and the other, and it's going to be nice for us to have someone to shoot up. But yet none of them are actually saying that wouldn't it be better if we could get clean? This is all about trying to give them somewhere that they're out of sight, and it's as if we're just trying to sweep a problem
under the carpet. Yeah.
Yeah, but the issue is, that centre is slap bang in the middle of the main tourist points in Dublin city centre.
People walking, tourists walking from Dublin city up to Guinness's, for example, would walk past this. Yeah.
And not only that, I forgot the name of the first guy that was saying saying that it's the studies have shown that it reduces criminality. What those studies showed was that it reduced the criminality in terms of disruptive behaviour. So you haven't got drug users sat in a doorway. But by actively encouraging people, which is what I believe this is, to continue to take drugs, what you're actually doing is pushing the crime rate up in other areas because it encourages them. They need to get a hit. They need to get a bigger fix. And we're actively encouraging them. They're getting that money from somewhere. Very, very few active heroin users are employed.
Can I ask Eddie a question just in relation to what Adam has just said? You know, the whole idea is that a drug user or a heroin user reaches a low, a point where they want to change, right? And every drug user that's come on the air that's ever told me that got clean has said to me, I reached the lowest point in my life where I was sitting in a car park with a belt around my arm, sticking a needle in myself in the freezing cold in the middle of winter, right? So, and I thought I was going to die. So whatever it is. But if we're encouraging people and making it easier for them and more civilised for them to take drugs, there's less chance of them reaching that low. Isn't that the point that Adam is making? That dignity that they want.
I understand the point he's making, right?
I know that sounds harsh,
I actually didn't realise in the article I read today that it was only opened 8 hours a day. Yeah. I find that absolutely ridiculous.
56 hours
like
a
Adam
week.
Says, yeah. A drug dealer doesn't just take it 9 to 5. It takes it 24 hours a day. There's 19,000 of them. But I'm just going back to the point where my friend who have an overdose, if he was in a centre and that was happening, there'd be somebody to help him. That's what I'm saying. You know,
but the problem is, and I want you to have a think about
it's got to the point now. I'm not sold on the idea now because it was 8 hours. I thought it was going to be open 24 hours, but I can see why the government are trying to take a proactive stance on it.
But here's the biggest problem, and I say this to the three of you, that the Labour Party have been pushing this, well, particularly Éireann Reardon, for the last 9 years, and in the last 2 years, of course, Éireann Reardon, who was my enemy in the European elections. He has said that
more than your enemy now, let's say.
He wants a health-based approach to all Class A drugs. So in other words, he wants them decriminalised. And that's the next step, Eddie. I don't want to live in a country where heroin, crack cocaine, fentanyl, MDMA are all decriminalised. I don't want to live in that country.
I just can't see that ever happening.
And I certainly agree with that too.
But I can't see it happening.
Well, I'm telling you now. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you would, if you go back to the 1980s, did you ever think in your wildest dreams that the government would be providing a facility where people could shoot up heroin? No, you wouldn't.
No.
So there you go. I'm telling you it's going to happen. It's going to happen in the next year. You wait and see. It'll happen within the next year.
You have a load of woke TDs there in the Dáil now who are probably going to be there now tomorrow. They're going to be all sitting around and probably be banging it up their noses inside the Dáil bar tomorrow night, you know, after their first day in the job, you know. And I can tell you something, these are the same parties that are pushing for this agenda for years, you know, and they're finally getting their wish now. And that's why we need a complete overhaul of the whole system in this country, you know.
Yeah, Adam.
Because it's out of control now, it is.
Adam, just before we end the break, Adam, do you agree with a health-based approach to Class A drugs, i.e. that you decriminalise them for personal use?
No, I agree with a health-based approach in one sense, but there should be a lot more funding put into helping the people who are desperately, desperately trying to find places within addiction centres. But it should be that they're helping these people that have genuinely reached rock bottom. I remember last night, Damo was on. And he had reached rock bottom.
Oh, yeah, poor Damo.
You could hear it in his voice. He was broken. Now, is he always broken, or is he broken because it's close to Christmas and it brings back the family ties and his kids? And I don't know. None of us know. But he has reached rock bottom, and he can't get help. Like, this money should be spent on trying to help the people that actually want help. Because all that we do by doing this, we put funding into it, and these people are still going to be active heroin users in 12 months, 24 months, and 36 months' time, because there is no encouragement for them to avoid the situation that they're in and to try and start to make change. They haven't hit there yet. Some people choose not to ever hit that point. They've accepted that is going to be their final days, however long that lasts. Mm. They've, in their minds, they just don't want to change. But there are people out there that genuinely want to change. And the argument will be, well, where do we put them? Well, I switched that back to, we were able to put porter cabins everywhere to help an immigration crisis. We could do the same with addiction centres and actually help people. This is only going to go one way. You've said about let's be real, it's all but in name happened. You've said, you get caught with a couple of wraps of heroin, you've got a few needles with you, it's a slap on the wrist. That, to me, it's already effectively been decriminalised. The only people that are getting prosecuted are the dealers.
The dealers, yeah.
Which, so in one, when you actually look at it in one sense, it's almost on the borderline of entrapment by allowing people to go and shoot up. You've got to turn up with your drugs. They've got to get them from somewhere.
But here's the thing. What happens if a dealer in the area gets caught now? Is he okay? Under the new legislation, you know, he's in the radius of a detection centre. I'm just providing a service that you're legally allowing them to do.
It's close to entrapment when you actually think of it black and white. Like, you're encouraging a dealer because those people that you're saying need to, they need users through that service to justify that service. But the only way that that user can be at that service is if there's a drug dealer.
Mm.
Like, it's lunacy.
Yeah. Okay, well, Eddie and Adam, stay there with me. Joe, thanks very much, Nate. Eddie and Adam, stay there for a second. I got to go into a quick break. The number is 087-188-0008. Adam thinks it's lunacy. Eddie thinks he's kind of on the fence, although he thinks it should be open 24 hours a day. He thinks it's a good idea if it prevents overdoses, people, you know, getting diseases, etc., etc. But I want to know what you think. Ireland's first medically supervised injection centre opens in Merchants Quay in the next few days, where drug users, heroin users primarily, can go and not just, you know, get other medications that they put them on just to subsidise them. They can go and get, they can't get heroin there. But I just point out, somebody says, Nyla, they provided them with heroin. No, they bring their own heroin. They essentially can go there and get clean needles and get instructions or help on how to inject themselves. Or indeed, if they want to inquire about getting off drugs, there will be obviously information available for them there as well. Yes, they can get their methadone there too, but they've been getting it at Merchants Quay for years. It's always been there. They've been queuing up for methadone at Merchants Quay for as long as I can remember. Anyway, the number is 087-188-0008. Is this a good idea? Or is it the wrong way to approach it? Let me know what you think. All right, let me go. Stay there, please, Eddie and Adam. Let me go to Jimmy as well. Jimmy, hi, how are you?
Good evening, Niles. Good evening. Niles, I am originally from that area. And let alone is it... No, it shouldn't be what it is there. Mm. It's too close to the city centre. There's a school right behind it.
Yeah.
It's going to entice even more. You know, you're going to get all sorts there. You're going to get drug dealing there. It's going to be a fucking disaster. They're trying to help people. Well, God help the people that are living in the area.
And that area in particular has been probably more neglected than any other area of the city, to be honest with you.
Well, 10 minutes and you'd be in O'Connor Street.
Yeah, yeah. Or 5 minutes and you're up to Thomas Street, which is probably a no-go area at the moment.
It sounds like they're encouraging people to be take drugs now. Mm. You know what I mean? We provide, you know, health services in this country, say mental health services, probably gets about 5% of the budget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they want to spend, God, I'd love to know how much they're spending on all this. And there's more.
The centre itself, now the building was already there, as you well know, Merchants Quay, but the centre itself, to update the building inside. Now, when you say update, I saw pictures today. It just looks like they painted them for a few partition walls up to make cubicles for them, right? 5 million they spent on that. Spend 5 million is beyond me.
Yeah,
well, unless there's two bike sheds at the back.
Yeah. you couldn't even put the bike shed in the right direction. But listen, I know the area real well, and it's just going to kill that area. And I can imagine what's going to happen because of this. You're going to have all sorts there, congregating all sorts, and criminal behaviour. See, like most of these people go out and steal and cause misery to people just to get the money for drugs. I know a fella that was on heroin. Now, I'm not saying everybody should go off and this and another because everybody deals with addiction differently. But I will say this here. He was a fucking gentleman in the end. When he hit 16 grand when he started doing it, he blew all his money. And he said to me, it was the best hit I ever got in my life. He said, but I'm not going to continue because I can't hurt anybody for money.
Yeah.
Now, that was a real deal. The chap has since died.
Yeah, sorry, can I just come back to Eddie on that? Just, you know what Jimmy said there? So, Johnny goes in, gets his fix out on the street of a dealer. He goes in, he brings his fix with him. The nurses help him and show him the right way to inject himself and give him a clean needle to do so, because he has no intention of coming off it, let's say, and he's not interested in coming off it. He waits 15 minutes off his bicky, and then he goes out on the street. He walks down, you know, I don't know, along the Liffey there or whatever, and he decides to beat up somebody so he can get another 100 quid for his next fix the next day. Are we not being part of that problem, Eddie?
Well, if it wasn't there, he's just going to do that anyway. That's the chance you take. Now, what I will say to that chap regarding the area, right, I know it quite well. They put them in these places because it has a high drug problem and it's in walking distance for a lot of the people that have an issue. Because I'm saying put it outside an area where in an industrial estate somewhere, but then that means it's outside the city. And a junkie isn't going to get on a bus, spend €3 all the way up there to shoot up and then €3 to get back down. That's why they put them in these areas, you know.
All them junkies have bus passes anyway. They all have bus passes.
Yeah, but they won't use it. They won't use it to get on a bus to travel for 45 minutes.
I think you're totally wrong there, saying like it's not the right
wrong.
Area to put
it. I'm not
no,
wrong.
No, you're totally wrong. You know
they,
what you're totally
walk.
Wrong? No,
they live in that area, so it's handy for them.
It's a city centre. And you think it's right to put it in the city centre?
No, I never said it's right to put it in the city centre. You're completely misconstruing what I said. I said it should be in an industrial area away from the city.
He did say, no, Eddie, hold on. He did say it, or Jimmy, he did say it should be in an industrial area outside of the city. But
it's three or four bridges down from O'Connell Bridge.
Mm, yeah.
That's all it is. You'd walk in 10 minutes up to O'Connell Street. No, it could be really well. There is a school right behind that. For infants, like second years, third years, and all that.
Yeah.
Like that's it's gonna bring a load of people in there, all sorts of people selling, buying, and God knows what. If they're trying to protect these people, they should be trying to protect them. As in, see this methadone as well, been on it 20 years, 25 years, and all that.
Ridiculous.
There has to be some selling that methadone to get benzos. Now this is a regular thing because you get it every Tuesday or every Tuesday up and.
So can I ask you, what's your solution to fix the problem?
More beds for people that, you know, they need the help to come forward and say yes. Like that chap that was on the radio with Noel, they had a drink problem, this other. There's no places for people like that poor chap. There should be places, right? If they can put 5 million into this, well, then they can put another 5 million into it as well and make it, you know, 20 beds, 40. You have to start somewhere. But encourage them. That's what you're doing. You're encouraging them.
And that's what they're saying this centre will do. If you hit rock bottom and you approach this centre, you will be able to get linked in with other health services and addiction studies and stuff. That's easy said.
Where would you be?
We don't know until it's tried.
We do know. There's no accommodation. There's a big queue with everything else. There's hundreds. It would take a year to get in, if you're lucky. You know what? Even people in this country that are suicidal, they can't get treatment either. You know why? Because there's too much of a waiting list and everything else. Everything in this bleeding country is airspace.
Should we just leave it where they can just shoot up on the street?
No, we should clear the city of them all. And like Noel said, right?
A tough approach.
Lock them fucking up if they're going to keep committing 100 crimes, rap sheets, and you have that fucking Enoch Burke and his dad getting fucking arrested.
We don't even have enough jail cells. That's why judges are given lenient sentences.
That's not the point. Build a fucking prison. Taunton Prison was supposed to be built.
There you go. Another issue.
Well, look, my thing is, if you want to stop them doing it, right, make it hard for them. Don't fucking make it easy for them.
I'm kind of caught in the middle there as well. Adam, what do you think of what Jimmy said? If you're going to, you know, make it more difficult for people to take drugs rather than make it easier for people to take drugs.
I agree. Like, at the end of the day, he's made a good few points and he's reiterated some of the points I've made. Like, there's people out there that want the help and can't get it because of the funding. Now, one of the things that's just been said is, but they can go in that centre when they've hit rock bottom and they'll be directed to services. If they've hit rock bottom, they're already engaged and they're already trying to get that help now. You're not going to get a user going there that's walked in for the first ever time and engaged with a service. These are going to be people that are already engaged with the service. So this isn't going to help any new people to the service.
I don't think so, because as we've mentioned already, the waiting list for services is really long. And Jimmy is right.
Exactly.
We would be better served putting money into those kind of services. But, like, as you rightly said, this is not going to be the first time. If somebody's hit rock bottom, they more than likely have engaged with a service, but they'll be put on a waiting list. And, of course, the services are not interested in them unless they've been clean for a certain period of time. And I understand. I get that too.
The services for about 80 beds in Dublin. 80 beds. Now, I'm not 100% sure of that, but there's not much more than that. Maybe less, 60 beds.
For 19,000 heroin users.
There must be 500 addicts on O'Connell Street each day, down Talbot Street, all the avenues off. Right? That's just... It's right in town as well. Like, if you're going to do something like that, it should be out in the bleeding Abbottstown or somewhere, fucking build a bleeding, warehouse in a field or something like that.
I mean, Eddie, I assume you've been in town recently, have you, in the centre of the city? It's like the land of the living dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but what I'm saying there, look, if you build it in Abbottstown,
it doesn't happen in any other city.
And there's a junkie in Abbottstown and he has a bus pass.
Hang on.
He's not going to get on a bus and travel for an hour just to shoot up. He's not going to do it.
Well, then fuck him. Fuck him if he doesn't. And fuck him if he doesn't. Yeah. It's up to them. Listen, if they want to change, there should be something there for them. to help them fucking get better, blah, blah, blah. Because every addict, whether it be alcohol or drugs or anything, reaches rock bottom at some stage, right? And they ask for help, but it's never fucking there. And that's why most of them don't fucking go for help, because they know they won't get it. And anyway, do you think they want to be miserable all their fucking lives? And fucking, and it is, it's a miserable fucking life, right? Eddie. Fucking miserable.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. Stay there, please, Jimmy, Eddie, and Adam. Let me just go to Bernie. Bernie, who was a nurse for much of her life and would be very familiar with people who've hit rock bottom. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall. How are you?
Good. Eddie believes this is a good idea. It might get people to go to services or help services. Adam thinks it's the wrong way to approach it. And when you've heard what Jimmy says, he's definitely against it.
Well, I have already said that I think that it's a good idea for the simple reason that they get clean, they get into an area where it's safe. You know, these people are injecting and sticking needles into all sorts of places in their bodies. And, you know, they are causing terrible long-term effects to themselves. And they can even kill themselves, hit arteries and cause sepsis, you know, die on the ground, on the thing. And that's not what living is about. I mean, they need to be helped. And if it could be done outside of school hours, if it could be done in that area. I know Merchants Quay, a long time, I've known it for a long time. And I know it's an awful, it's not fair to have everything impact on that place, but somebody has to start somewhere. This has to change. We can't keep burying our heads in the sand saying, oh, it's somebody else's problem, it's somebody else's family. This is everybody's family. This is everybody. And we need to club together and face the reality that's coming down the line. I don't want my grandchildren, who are now age 2 and 3, to have to witness this any longer. We've all witnessed this, and we should be ashamed of ourselves that now we're saying, oh, they not in my area and they shouldn't be helped. If it brings them in off the street and gives them a clean needle even to, and they can talk to somebody else, maybe somebody might say something that might change their attitude. And this government should get off their holes and build areas to help. There should be areas of all the, every village and town and county in Ireland should be, have somewhere for all these people to go and get start and get clean and get a life. And that's
here's, what here's, another, well, here's another point for you. Here's another point for you, right? Them drugs have to be tested that they bring in there, right? Because if one of them ODs, yeah, or, you know, gets seriously sick and all that, they can sue the bleeding.
No, there is.
Yeah,
they've already
right?
said,
and they're going in. Half of these drugs that are sold now are rubbish. They're not even half of the potency they're supposed to be, and some of them are twice the potency they're supposed to be. What you need to do, right? You need to provide services and just don't open them at the centre, because it's only basically for clean needles. That's basically what it's for. It's not to save lives or this, that, and the other. Really, it's not to give them a clean needle. You know what? Half of these fucking junkies don't even give a fuck clean needle or not.
What? Just what? What's the language there, Jimmy? If you can, thanks. Sorry, Bernie.
But I mean,
he's got a point, hasn't he? I mean, you know, I know he's angry.
All the point we've heard, we've everybody has raised these issues for year upon year. I mean, I'm 65, and I've been hearing about this drug problem since the 70s. It's gone on. It's not a new event. This has been reoccurring. Yeah. And I have to say, the guards and our people at the borders are doing their best to keep all these drugs and get them. And they're doing it. It looks like they're really doing an amazing job. But we have to start at the ground again and face this reality and say, no longer. We haven't done anything. We haven't improved. There is no, he's right. Everybody said there tonight.
But Adam made a good point earlier on. We're tackling the demand, but we're not tackling the supply. We're tackling the supply, but not tackling the demand. So in other words, it's all well and good going out and getting big catchments, and some sniffer dog finds, you know, 20 million quid's worth of coke or whatever it is, or heroin on some boat off the coast or whatever it is. But we're not tackling the real problem. That's the people who's using it. We're ignoring them completely. But when I say ignoring them, we're just letting them away with it. It's illegal, and we're letting them away with it.
We have laws for everything, and we have laws, and it's illegal to take this, and it's illegal. They're still doing it. Now, we can't. We have to
But we do enforce our other laws. I spoke about this today. For example, there's a law against going over whatever it is, you know, 80 miles an hour or 120 kilometres an hour on a motorway. We enforce that law. If people get caught, they get a fine. We enforce laws. But this law, we don't enforce, and we haven't enforced it in decades. If somebody's caught tomorrow with heroin, they're not getting charged.
The courts are a joke. These guys are going in with 80 under convictions.
With great respect, Jimmy, nobody's been sent to court for having, you know, 20 quid's worth of heroin in his pocket. Nobody. The guards just let them go again. The guards are not interested because it just takes up way too much time and too much of the court's time. So we're not taking it seriously. We've never took the demand seriously, Bernie.
Okay, so we have this big...
Hang on, Jimmy. Go ahead, Bernie.
So, okay, so we have this... But this children's unit or this children's hospital that's going to be built in
Jesus, yeah.
Right? Can we not, they're not, forget about it. Let us say, right, this is where we're going to get people. And they start at the front door and the people who are using currently are, you know, given the clean needles and they're told they have this amount of time. All the drugs are tested by the laboratories and the clean drugs only are used. Then they're put through the rehabilitation centre. Then they're allowed to, you know, be re-educated.
Why give them drugs at all? Why not just say, sorry, that's illegal. You can't be taking drugs.
Okay, well then cold turkey and have the facilities to put them through cold turkey.
Yeah. Okay, I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay, so bring them to the new kids' hospital. Forget the new kids' hospital to get this problem sorted.
Why should children suffer at the expense of people who, I'm going to put it bluntly, have made the decision to begin that journey to addiction? Nobody chooses to be an addict, but people choose to take that first step into addiction. There are very, very few people in Irish history that have ever been tied to a chair and injected with heroin for the first time. They made that choice. Those children that are battling leukemia, that have rare cancers, haven't had any input into that. Why should they suffer at the expense of drug users? I agree that that this will help in the sense that they will get clean needles, they'll get sterile water, and they'll get advice, but they already
doesn't fix
have access
the problem.
To that.
Doesn't fix anything.
They've already got access to that, and they're choosing not to take it. All they're looking for, and the only reason that addicts are so desperate for this to go ahead, is because it's winter, and they know it gives them somewhere warm, out of the way to spend a few hours. Let's be realistic on this. From what I read, there's seven rooms for people to safely inject. Those users will be there for an average 45 minutes to an hour. There is no way that they're going to allow 200 people in a waiting room. So in any one day, that facility is only going to be accessible by maybe 70 or 80 people. Like, how is this the solution to any problem?
Okay, well, do me a favour, because I have to go into a break. The number, by the way, as usual, is 087-188-0008. Bernie, I'll come back to you after the break. Thank you very much indeed, Eddie and Jimmy as well. Adam, if you could stay with me, that'd be great. The number is 087-188-0008. I'm asking you if you agree with medically supervised injection centres. The first one will open in Dublin. After 9 years' wait, it'll open in the next few days. And I want to know, do you agree with it? Or do you think, like Adam, we're just enabling a problem? Or maybe, like Bernie, you think it's a good thing? All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Bernie, somebody texted and said, what's the story with Bernie? Is she one of these do-gooders? Are you a do-gooder, Bernie?
No, but I just feel that we have to face it. We can't keep saying it's a bad idea. Everything is a bad idea if you let it. But
Some things are a bad idea. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. Now, I understand what everybody's saying, and I know what we're saying. But at the same time, these are human beings like us.
No, and I'm okay with it. Look, Bernie, here's the thing. I'm not really that concerned about the medical injection centre. I'm really not. But what does concern me is that it's the first step to the Labour Party dream. And, you know, and the Labour Party dream for Eoghan Reardon is that we have a medical approach to all our problems when it comes to drugs. In other words, that now, you know, we'll bring in legislation, say, in the next year, where we'll decriminalise Class A drugs. And, you know, and have a health-based approach, like Portugal, for example, and to all drugs. And that's not the country I want to live in.
No, and nor me either. But at the same time, this has gone on for the last, 50, 60 years of our Ireland that I know. There's always been a back story of a drug issue somewhere. And we can't keep putting it under the carpet. And I don't agree with any party's policy. I just know, as a human being to another human being, if somebody out there on drugs wants to have some way of getting off them, doesn't know how, and a centre like this will give them some kind of respite and a clean needle, and gives them, somebody might actually talk to them, a human being, and another human interaction might actually say something that might make a difference. Isn't that just a small start on our bigger change that might make a difference?
Okay,
that's all I'm thinking.
Okay, well, well,
I'd volunteer myself if I thought sitting with somebody who's on drugs while they took their clean, hopefully, drugs that they brought in.
I
would sit with them and maybe just talk to them.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd love to talk to people, and I talk to people all the time, by the way, who are trying to get off drugs or drink or whatever it is on the air, right? But I couldn't sit with somebody talking to them about how they should get off drugs while they're taking drugs. I just couldn't.
I know. No, it's very challenging because not everybody is open to it. Not everybody present, but there might be one person that you might in one 10-hour shift or whatever you're doing in there, or a 2-hour shift, that you might, one word from you might make a difference in that person's life. Are they not allowed to have that one chance instead of having no chance sitting on the boardwalk or sitting out of their brain somewhere in a cold winter's night?
But they're still going to do all those things. They're still going to do all those things.
I understand. I do understand, and I don't mean to give up the children. I do not want to give up the children's hospital to anything other than children. However, if we want to make this problem, you know, be reactive, maybe now is the time to take everyone in and dry them all out, and, you know, get the guards on board, get all the HSC, get all the public bodies that are responsible for these people, and get it sorted for once and for all, instead of hiding it under the sand for another generation to have to face.
Okay, well, hang on, Bernie and Adam. Stay there for a second. Martin, do you agree with this supervised injection centre?
Good evening, Niall. No, I don't.
Okay.
Why not? And as I often say, I'll lay out my stall here.
Mm-hmm.
I entirely agree with your analogy of the pub. I would take it further and say, let's say the government said, oh, okay, we're acknowledging that we have people with gambling problems. So what we're going to do is we're going to open centres where a limited number, and let's be honest, it is going to be just limited numbers because it's just such a problem. But a limited number of people will be able to come in every day. And we're going to purchase Cray supercomputers, which will crunch the numbers of whatever you gamble on, whatever your kind of thing is, and we'll give you the best odds on whatever.
Yeah.
Do I think that's acceptable? Do I think that's a good way to spend my taxes? No, I don't. I also, as far as I'm concerned, what it will become is just a hub for people to meet and exchange information and contacts. I think on the periphery, and I'm not sure how far that periphery will extend, I'm talking about the physical periphery, the surroundings, I think you will have drug dealers. I think it's just another Irish solution to an Irish problem. In my opinion, and I know my opinion would not be a popular opinion, I have all the sympathy in the world for people with addictions. I really do. But in my opinion, when it comes to it, instead of the government tampering and just fiddling around with the symptom, deal with the cause. Deal with the issue. We live on an island. It shouldn't really be that hard to secure our borders in every regard. And when people, I'm not talking about the people who are on the lower echelon of supply. I'm talking about the people at the very top, the people who get millions every year. Take those people, take their funds, put them in prison. And when I say put, I'm not talking about 5 or 10 years. I'm talking about lifetime. These people destroy lives. If you had, let's say you had the Acme Cornflake Company, and they make cornflakes, and they make a brand. They make cornflakes that actually turn out to be lethal. They're deadly to people. It wouldn't be tolerated. They'd be stopped. There's no difference. In my opinion, there is no difference. It's the same thing. People's lives are destroyed. Families are destroyed. Society's being destroyed. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
I entirely agree with Adam. It's not going to solve anything, particularly on the basis of an 8-hour day, because those same people will just, they will be, the term I think is shooting up or whatever.
Yep.
In other circumstances where there is no protection. There is no safeguard.
And they're still going to be interacting with the dealer on the street.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely. I don't see it as a solution. I think it's just
enabling a problem.
It's pandering. It's pandering and just basically.
I don't disagree. Well, hang on, Bernie. I'm listening to Martin and Adam, and I don't disagree. We are pandering to a serious problem, and this is not the way we should be doing it. I mean, I don't disagree with you. We should have empathy. We should have understanding. We should support people and have more rehab and all that kind of stuff, Bernie. But this idea of pandering to them and enabling them and facilitating to do something illegal, which is also killing them, is bonkers.
I'm not enabling them. I don't agree with drugs. However, I don't agree with leaving people at the side of the road because they are in a situation that they either don't want to get out of or they have no other way of means of getting out of. Like, there is nothing out there at the moment except the boardwalk. Somebody told
but what you're saying,
and maybe this area.
Bernie, what you're saying to me, if somebody was a violent person, let's say, an aggressive, violent person, you wouldn't bring them inside and give them a ring to fight somebody in. You know what I mean? You would say, please don't fight with people. Please don't do that. If somebody was an alcoholic, you wouldn't bring them into a pub and say, here's a glass for your beer. You know, if somebody was, I don't know, smoking cannabis, you wouldn't provide rooms for them to smoke in. That's what we're doing.
But this government, any government, they haven't, like, everything, everybody has said there, prisons are full. There's no help out there for mental people, people with mental health issues, children. There is no, we don't seem to be getting to the nooks of the problem, which is we have people on the street tonight taking drugs. We have children waiting on waiting lists. There's so much going on. Can we not just stop and say, right, we can't help anybody else except start fixing what's broken here? And it's very badly broken. Everything we in our society currently is broken for people like for the middle class. The upper class don't seem to notice, or they're oblivious to it, or they're bringing in the problem. They have all the hand of the cards are all in their hand. The cards up for the middle class aren't there, and the cards for the lower. There's nothing there. Everything is broken at the moment to help to try and alleviate any problem. Prisons are full. There's no housing. You put it all together, it's a mismatch of a disaster. And we need to fix something somewhere. And even this small thing, I know it's awful, but somewhere, a clean needle for somebody, and we're doing something. We're trying to do something to stem
and
the tide.
I don't
of
disagree.
Disaster.
I don't disagree with doing something. Yeah, sorry, Adam, just very quick, you want to say something there to Bernie?
Sorry, Bernie, with the greatest of respect, this service already exists. You're saying you don't want to enable drug using, but all of these services, this combined service, is already in existence, with the exception of a room for them to actively walk in holding illegal substances and inject themselves. They can already get clean needles. They can already get wipes. They can already get sterile water. They can already get the support, and they can already get outreach caseworkers if they want to go and access it. But they choose not, those people choose not to. And whilst I agree with what you're saying about if we can help one person, that's great. But those people, if they're that close to wanting that help, they're already engaged with outreach services. All this is doing is giving them somewhere to congregate and support their illegal activity. And you also mentioned you don't want your grandchildren, to grow up with this. Do you want your grandchildren to grow up where they're scared to walk down the street? Because let's face it, street robberies are going up. Violent house burglaries are going up. Most of those are committed by drug users.
Sorry, Martin. No. Martin, just quickly. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, very quickly. Now, look, I understand and I commend Bernie for her empathy. And I do. I have empathy myself. I really do. I have a great deal of empathy for the people involved. And I see it when I'm traveling through the city. But the simple fact is, you cannot help people who either don't want to be helped or are not prepared at the moment to be helped. Apart from that, I understand what Bernie is saying. There are so many problems, but let's prioritise our problems. Let's prioritise our problems, particularly when it comes to health. Get the children's hospital built, get it finished, get it done. If we have to build more and bigger prisons, build them. Let's prioritise things. Let's get them
and
right.
By the way, I don't disagree with Bernie as well. We need more beds for people who genuinely want support and help.
No,
yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with Bernie. I understand exactly what she's saying, but you can't. You know, it's like when we were kids. You know, you'd pick the little, I don't know what they're called, off a Ginny Joe, and it'd float away. Chances are it might land somewhere and seed. The vast majority of them won't. I don't believe that this policy and this initiative is going to do anything to reduce crime, tear drugs, put the kingpins away. I think it's just another, they're pandering to, yeah, this is easy, let's do it this way.
All right, well, listen, Martin, thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Bernie. Thank you, Adam, for staying so long as well there.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.